And we will pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the opportunity to receive the another that Jesus sent into the earth. We worship you, Holy Ghost. We thank you that you're here right now this morning, opening ears, ministering to people's spirits. I thank you for the prosperity that comes from you and the healing that comes from you. And we pray in other tongues right now, things that we can't even comprehend yet with our natural understanding. Fost, Kenij, Lento, Bander, Unstake, Ishtavastodochis, Please on de given in de kiddi shinama repel, raccoons dun jain ven vinindi blade agdo oku places teach anima, lone zonde, prazino, grustosha, lat kun zindambra for costa dj, beje, vine, glust, racines, restans, razones, dredej, bradish. Whoo! Thank you, Holy Ghost. We give you place and presence in Jesus' name. We worship you. Amen. Is it all right to pray in other tongues together?
Yes.
The Bible says that they lifted up their voice together and prayed. So we can do that too. God's not confused by it. You might be, but you'll get over that if you keep searching the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Does your Bible say that?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're not going to receive the things from the Spirit of God by your natural mechanisms, in the natural. You receive them first into your spirit.
Yes.
They're spiritually discerned. And the discernment, I believe, here means I discern something. I've got something. Yes. You receive something and you discern it. Yes. I think I have scripture here that tells you that. That if you receive something by the Spirit of God, you will discern it, at which point you can go, I have that.
Yes.
I've told you time and time again that I've had revelation come to me that I received in my spirit. I didn't even know in my mind what it was. And I said, I've got it. I've got that. And then over a period of time, sometimes minutes, sometimes days, it matures and my mind finally grabs onto it and goes, that's what you received last Tuesday. That's how everything, say everything.
Everything.
Everything works with the Spirit of God. The natural man can't receive it. The spiritual man receives it. And then you have it, and then the natural responds in kind. Say in kind.
In kind.
In kind to what? In kind to the thing that you received. This is what God told me to tell you. Are you here?
Yep.
Money comes from the inside. If you're looking anywhere else, you're looking in the wrong direction. Wouldn't that be great? You know, have you ever played that? What is that game where you go hot and it's hot and cold? Is that what they call it? You're getting warmer. You're getting warmer. Somebody's blindfolded and they're walking around and they're supposed to find, you know, I don't know what it is. The golden egg. Is that what you use, a golden egg? And so yeah, somebody's blindfolded and they're going, you're getting colder. You're getting colder. Oh, you're getting warmer. You're getting warmer. Yeah. Ever play that as a kid? Okay, everybody put your blindfold on. Illustrated sermon. No. Here the Holy Ghost is telling you, if you're looking in a different direction somewhere else, you're looking in the wrong direction. He's telling you exactly where money's gonna come. You're gonna discern it. I received the money to pay off that.
Yeah.
Where did you receive it? In my bank account. It will affect your bank account. The things that you need, you're going to receive in your spirit first. And if it's money, because I have to go down this road? Money is the major thing that most people need for, you know, money answers all things.
Yep.
Or it's at least really close to an answer. And for many things.
Come on.
Right? And lots of times, you know, the church, there's a lot of people in the church don't want to believe God for money. No, that's sacrilegious, but they spend all their time praying about money.
Yeah, right?
True. What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? You're gonna cry to God, beg for money, except when he told you the way to do it is to receive it in your spirit and stop looking to everywhere else. And those Christians are always looking for a handout. They got their hand out. both hands. Give me something. They're looking in the wrong place. Yep. Everybody go like that. Everything out here, do that with your hands. Everything out here is the wrong place. That's where you think the money's gonna come from. It doesn't come from there. It comes from the inside, and God makes a deposit into your spirit. Yeah. And that deposit can be small or it can be large. I've had large deposits, I've had small deposits. What do you need? I need a really large deposit. Then you need to receive big on the inside. Say receive.
Receive.
Big, big on the inside.
On the inside.
Is this any good?
Yeah.
I just want a little small hands. Well, then just receive small. When you pray, pray in a small voice.
God, just send me $10.
I don't like small things. Never liked small things. Like big things. That's why we're bigger on the inside than we are on the outside. God likes big things. Look at the universe. We can't even look at the universe. Light runs out of time before we see the whole thing. That's a big universe. God's big, and he lives on the inside of you, and you don't want to confess his scriptures over your situation. Guess what's not coming? The manifestation's not coming, because you're looking out in the wrong direction. You look to him, his scriptures, put them on the inside, they produce. Are you here?
Yes.
All right. Spiritually discerned. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. And like I said, in that scripture, it shows you that you can know when you've received it or not. And until you know, what do? You keep doing your part.
Yes.
You keep confessing and calling, money cometh. You keep confessing, my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. You keep confessing, the Lord my God teaches me to profit, leads me by the way that I should go.
Yes.
You keep confessing that I'm the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath.
Yes.
You keep confessing it and praying in tongues and calling for it to come to you until all of a sudden, where does it show up? On the inside. And you go, I've got it. And everybody else will say, no, you don't. But they'd be wrong and you'd be right.
That's right.
Isn't it good to be right every once in a while?
Yeah.
And then you go, I'm all right.
Hallelujah.
Well, I'm having fun this morning. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Good chapter. I recommend it. Galatians, right after Corinthians, Galatians chapter 6, and let's see, let's go with verse 7. How can you skip by verse 7? Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap.
I don't like what I'm reaping.
Then you don't like what you're sowing, right? So, yes, so. I like what Oral Roberts used to say it all the time. If you have a need, plant a seed. And he wrote books on it. He gave them out for free. You remember that? How many of you remember that? All those books that Oral Roberts would give out to everybody for free. All the time. I mean, there was probably 5 or 6 of them anyway that I can remember. Just write in, call in, whatever. Free book. He was sowing seeds. If you have a need, you should sow a seed. If you don't understand that, then you need to go back to kindergarten and we'll teach you how to get rid of the pacifier out of your mouth. What does a pacifier do? It plugs your mouth. It's a mouth plug. You are a baby with a mouth plug. Isn't this great?
Awesome.
Most of the church is a big, fat, gray-haired baby with a mouth plug. And their mouth is plugged so they can't talk. I've seen little kids 4 or 5 years old where they should be able to say something like, I'm like, take that stupid thing out of your mouth. I'll tell you this because it's funny. I'll just kind of break it up. I used to take Olivia to the library when she was a kid. We read all of the books from A to Z in the children's section, the picture books. I'd read them to her. We read all of them. All of them. There's more now. I've been there, and they over the, you know, 10, 15 years, whatever that is. But we were in there, and this one kid, he was probably 4 or 5 years old. He's over in the section where I'm looking at the books. I'm going through, okay, we haven't read this one, we haven't read this one. I'm going through the books, and he's like, and I went up to him, and I said, "Stop your crying." And he went, "It just goes to show you, he could, he didn't want to. He was yielding to it." And so for the church, stop your crying, stop belly aching. Yeah. Start putting God's word in your mouth and get with the program.
Yeah.
So it was funny because then I'm standing over there. I'm kind of in the aisle, you know, and then he goes over and he tucks on his dad's coat. He goes, "That man over there told me to be quiet." I'm like, "These books are really good here." The father goes, "No, he didn't. He didn't. Who would do that?" I would. You're being a baby. It's a library. But his dad wasn't telling him anything, was he?
No.
His dad was like, "Go whine over there. Bug that guy who's trying to find a book." "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap something," right? I said, here, money comes from the inside. If you're looking anywhere else, you're looking in the wrong direction. "He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap." And what are we going to reap? Whatever we sow to the Spirit.
"Why am I not reaping financial abundance and prosperity?"
Because you're not sowing to the Spirit financial prosperity. Does this make sense? How do you sow? With your mouth, number one, and also with your money. You back it up. If you believe what you're saying, you back it up. If you believe in tithing, you back it up by tithing. If you believe in giving, you back it up by giving. Right? So you're putting some feet with your words, and you are about ready to reap. Listen to me. You are about ready to reap. And part of this message I have a little bit going on here is going to help you. Part of what you're going to start reaping things that you've been sowing for years. They're going to knock on your door and say, "Hello, here I am." And you got to be sure. You got to know that and have a witness on the inside of you that you don't just reject that thing and go, "Wait, that's completely different than the way I thought it was going to show up. I don't want it that way. I had it in my mind a certain way that it was going to show up. A big check with Ed McMahon ringing my doorbell." You call for it, it shows up. But you got to recognize it. When it shows up, you'll be able to discern. Say discerned.
Discern.
That's what it is. That's where it's coming from, right?
Yes.
Very good. "So to the Spirit, of the Spirit reap." Let me make sure I read all that. "Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap." And where does he say we're going to reap from? Reap from the Spirit. We sow to the Spirit, and of the Spirit reap. We sow to the Spirit, and where do we reap? From the Spirit. We will reap money from the Spirit. We will reap ability from the Spirit. Yes. And we'll be able to discern it. Because a lot of things that God is going to ask you to do, you will reject in your mind. Your mind will go, "No." Has your mind ever said no?
No.
What's one thing that little babies learn real fast?
No.
How to say no. Lots of times it's the first word they say. You're like, "Mommy, mommy, mommy," and they go, "No." "Daddy, daddy, daddy." "No." Right? And unfortunately, the church should be saying no to some things, but saying yes to many other things that the Spirit of God is leading them into. Whew. This is going to be good. "The Holy Ghost is the consummate entrepreneur. The Holy Ghost is consummate entrepreneur, meaning he's the best, he's the greatest, he's the archetype, he's the example. Let me get into this a little more. Joseph Schumpeter, I want to say his name right, Joseph Schumpeter was an Austrian economist, and he helped define what an entrepreneur is. In fact, he coined the phrase entrepreneurial spirit. I think he died in like 1950 or something like that, so he was early on. He came up with the concept of being an entrepreneur is being involved in destructive innovation. Because when something is introduced, a new product, say new product,
new product.
A new idea, say new idea.
New idea.
A new market, say a new market.
A new market.
It destroys the old. It makes it obsolete. When was the last time you went out into your car and you picked up that big giant block of a cell phone and used that? Where did that end up? It ended up in the garbage heap. Why? Because you have the new thing. So every time that an entrepreneur does something of which the Holy Ghost is the consummate one, and I will show you this in Scripture, that it ends up destroying the old. It makes it obsolete. It doesn't mean that it's no longer valid. It's just people don't go there because the new has come. We have a better covenant established upon better promises. It wouldn't make any sense for us try to establish ourselves in the old covenant.
Yep.
It doesn't mean it did away with the old covenant. It just means, why would you do it? We had somebody that fulfilled it.
Yes.
So we walk in the fulfillment of it. Holy, who did that? The Holy Ghost did that. You had the Old Testament. Then you had John the Baptist came, and he said, Jesus is coming. Well, when people received Jesus, how long were they following John the Baptist anymore? The ones who went with Jesus didn't. It made John the Baptist's ministry obsolete to the point where he got his head cut off and had to leave.
Right?
John the Baptist's ministry basically was leading up to Jesus when Jesus showed up and he baptized Jesus and he saw the Holy Ghost descend in a bodily shape onto Jesus. He said, that's pretty much it. He didn't just stop right then, but it wasn't long before his ministry was done. He became obsolete. Does that mean baptism is obsolete? No, you should be baptized. It stands for something. Right? Well, then Jesus came, he had his ministry, he'd gone through his whole ministry. He's like, you know, I'm gonna send another. I'm gonna send thee another. When I go, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost. When Jesus left, that was the end of his earthly ministry, and the Holy Ghost came. When the Holy Ghost came, it nullified or made obsolete just walking hand in hand with Jesus on the earth, because he's not on the earth anymore. He went to heaven, very obviously and blatantly.
Yep.
The Holy Ghost is the consummate entrepreneur. By introducing new concepts, by introducing new products. And if we, you know, I'm just taking this into a business sort of level here. He introduced a new product himself, praying in tongues. And I don't know about you, but when I'm using that product, I mean, this might not be a good way to say it, but when I'm using that product, it's a good product, by the way. Man, it does things to me.
Yes.
All I have to do, Olivia was telling me this, she'd be at work and she'd be praying in tongues. She goes, you know, even if, you know, if I'm not having a good day or whatever, and I start praying in tongues, all of a sudden, immediately I feel better.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
That's what I'm bragging about in the Bublo. Hey, you get a smile on your face. It's a good product. I recommend it. He's the product. By introducing himself into the earth, into a situation, it makes everything else obsolete.
Yes.
Can the Holy Ghost make certain medications obsolete? It's what he does. He's the consummate entrepreneur. His product of healing power comes into you, yes, and makes the medication obsolete. Right? Even if it's non-prescription medication. I've heard this story. I've experienced it myself when I first got saved. I thought I was dying because I was on some kind of hallucinogenic, crazy, wild trip, man. And I called on the name of the Lord. I said, Jesus, that's all I said. Somebody had hung a track on the front of the door of my friend's house that we walked into. It was a band member, and we walked in there, and they took it off the door and threw it on the ground. I walked over it, said, Jesus, and I'm walking into the house. I'm sitting down there, and I was not having a good time. I was losing it. Say, he was losing it. You sure you haven't lost it now, brother? He was losing it. So I, you know, in a panic state, I said, Jesus, and guess what happened? I was sitting in a beanbag chair. Remember beanbag chairs? Very popular back then. I was sitting in a beanbag chair, and all of a sudden, wham, the effects of all of that illegal medication had gone away. And I was in my right mind, and I was sitting there looking at these other people, and they looked really strange to me. Why would I be here hanging out with these people? These were consummate losers, and I was hanging out with them, meaning it was making me one. So the Holy Ghost came on me, his product of himself superseded and nullified the effect of the other ones, and I just got up and left. And from that day forward, it took me time. Again, it took me time to find out what happened to me that day. And I kept going to the Bible, and I would open up to the book of Job, which wasn't very much help. But it's right in the middle of the Bible. And eventually I got through to, you know, the New Testament and figured out what happened. I called on the name of the Lord. I got born again on the inside. My inside is different now. Now I don't want to go to the bar anymore. Now I don't want to do the sin things anymore. I don't even want to hang out with these guys anymore.
Preach it.
Because I'm different on the inside. There's a problem with Christians who want to go hang out in bars.
Amen.
Something's wrong. They've been corrupted. Say corrupted. Corrupted. Something's corrupted in them. Right? Yield to the flesh, sow to the flesh. The flesh reaps corruption. What's it corrupt? You. And it corrupts your spirit, man. You can't think straight anymore. Anyway, I wasn't going to go into that story there, but the point is, he superseded and made obsolete the old. That's what he does. And I've told you many times and preached on it, that the number one way that God's going to prosper you is to have you involved in business things, because it's scriptural. God's number one way isn't just to have somebody come up and give you money. And it's a problem with preachers, because it happens to them all the time. They're at the pinnacle of saying, you need to give me money. And if you send in a $1,000 check, you have a special blessing for you today. Now, there's a special blessing for you, the guy that got the $1,000. It was a $1,000 blessing. And I'm not saying that some of that isn't legitimate, but most of it isn't. Most of it's just a scam. Right?
Yeah.
Sow to the Spirit, and of the Spirit reap. Well, let's continue on here. The Holy Ghost is a consummate entrepreneur. So, if God's number one method isn't just to have people give you money, his number one method to prosper you is to come to you with a new concept, a new business, a new idea, a new revelation, a new market. Because that's what he does, and he makes obsolete the old. Right? Are you seeing this? Is this like the Holy Ghost? Yes, that's what he does. That's how he does things. It's who he is. Any idea he brings to you makes something obsolete and old. It destroys it. It nullifies it. Are you here? I like the old idea, and that's why you're stuck where you are. And that's why when it comes knocking on your door, the door of your spirit, you're gonna have to go, oh, I never thought of that before. That's new, that's good, that's Holy Ghost. Yeah. Are new things always comfortable? New things are never comfortable. New shoes aren't comfortable. New pants aren't comfortable. New suits aren't comfortable. Unless they're really nice ones, well tailored and fit to you specifically. But then again, but at that point, it's not new. Yeah. Right? The Holy Ghost is a consummate entrepreneur, destroying the existing order by bringing in the new. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost came to me and I received Jesus as Lord, my inside was born again. He destroyed my old life. He completely wiped it out. If I'd have known pre that, I might not have said anything. I would have just suffered through it. I'm like, what, you're gonna ruin my whole career path. I was gonna be a studio musician. I was well on my way. I was the best around for miles and miles and miles. And anybody that got close, I'd drive them away so I'd still be the best around. Right? But the Holy Ghost came in. I hope you're here. I'm trying to lead you to what the Holy Ghost is trying to say to you. He came into my spirit, man, made me new, and completely wrecked, completely destroyed, completely wiped out my past, and my whole direction and my whole future was completely different. Amen. And if I didn't like it so much, I would have been really upset, because I spent a lot of time doing that stuff. In fact, when I was called to the ministry before I was even saved, I was around 10 years old. I was sitting on my bed. I had just gotten a brand new drum set. Are you enjoying this at all? I'm just kind of just telling stories up here. I'm kind of like Hagen now, or Dr. Frank. You get older, you just tell more stories. So I'm sitting on my bed. I'm sitting there, and then the Spirit of God comes into the room and he talks to me. He says, one of these days you're gonna have to choose between those and me. I just got these brand new drums. What are you talking about? I gotta choose between those and you. You know what I said? I said, do I have to choose now? That's what I said. Probably should have chose then. I wouldn't have had to go out through all this stupid stuff I did. But you understand? So when he came in, though, when I finally received him and I finally started following, he totally destroyed the thing that I was working so hard on. I'm telling you, this is going to happen to you. You've got things that you've been working hard on. You think this is the direction that you're supposed to go. But when you receive what the Spirit of God is saying to you, it's going to wreck you. Yeah. Welcome to the good news. Spirit of God's going to destroy you and wreck you and all your plans. So be ready for it. Are you here? If it doesn't come in, and when he comes in, it's almost always. I could probably go through the scriptures and see that it is every single time. That's who he is. That's how he does it. By introducing a new, improved something, he ruins the old. Olivia got a brand new espresso machine. She's been looking for one. She finally decided, got a really good deal online, bought one. If you ever want an espresso, come over to my house. I'm ready to help you out, and so would she be. You know what it did to my old espresso machine? It destroyed it. It's sitting on the stairs to the attic right now, looking very sad and lonely. I will never use it again. Because the new one, that the product that it produces is 100 times better. The product that the Holy Ghost, listen, is going to produce in you is 100 times better. Yeah. That was pretty loud. I was almost there. 100 times better than what you're doing right now. What you're doing right now is crap. Forgive me, but that's what it is. If we have to delete that, we will after, but that's the way it is. And when the Holy Ghost comes in, he puts something new in you that makes the old look like refuse. Yes. Right? And you shouldn't be so bent on your own little pea-brained ideas about what you want to do, because when the Holy Ghost comes, he'll let him put his ideas in you. I never thought I'd be one of those. What do you care? You're with the Holy Ghost and you're blessed and you're prosperous and you're fulfilling God's plan. What do you care what realm it's in? Because I always wanted to be a tap dancer. I don't know where that came from, but glory be to God. The Holy Ghost is a consummate entrepreneur, destroying the existing order by bringing in the new. And Joseph Schumpeter laid that out, that this is what entrepreneurs do, that when they introduce something new, it wrecks what went before it. Right? The personal computer wrecked having to have a giant house filled with computer stuff as your calculator. Destructive innovation. It destroys. And that's why a lot of times people don't want to receive it, because they realize that. They realize that if I receive this, it's going to destroy. Right? What they've been working on. Destructive innovation, new products, new ideas, innovation, new markets, making the old obsolete. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 5, we'll look over there. Now, you understand, I'm bringing this into so that you can get a look-see. Say, a look-see.
A look-see.
Into who the Holy Ghost is and what he does. Wouldn't it be good to know? We're supposed to be walking with him, so if we're walking with him, we need to know what kind of person he is and what he does. This is what he does. He's looking at you with destructive intent. That garbage you've been living in, I'm looking to destroy it. Think about it from a sickness perspective. He comes in, his idea is to destroy and wipe out all of that.
Yeah.
We're almost done. We're working on it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, or in the Anointed One, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And by new, we mean better.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not just a new version of the old. It's a new improved. This scripture is simply to show you that this is who the Holy Ghost is. This is how he does things. And if he is trying to prosper you, he's going to do the same thing in the financial realm and in the business realm. So get ready. All right, glory be to God. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. Just back up a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. When this verse of Scripture says, what is it? So now we're not really just trying to hold Jesus' hand and walk with him on earth. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the what? The glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So every new, say every new,
every
step,
step
of glory,
of glory
makes the old obsolete. And you don't want to go back there. I would never go back to not speaking in tongues every day. I know people that do. I had a friend in high school. We'd get together. I walk around with a big tape player. You've heard of those and seen those, right? Tape players with cassette tapes. I'd have Kenneth Copeland on that, and Norval Hayes, and Dad Hagen, and Charles Capps. And I would walk around all day long listening to the word and praying in tongues. I'd walk down the street. I didn't have one of those boom boxes. This was pre-boom box.
Yes.
This was little mono one-speaker box with the play, record, rewind, fast forward.
Yeah.
That was the height of technology. Has that been made obsolete? Yeah, because 8-track came in. But I would walk around, I had this friend, and he went off to Bob Jones University. Bob Jones University. And while we got him saved, we got him filled with the Holy Ghost, we were having regular Bible studies. I was turning him on to the Word and faith and how to believe God. And he goes, he went off to this school and they preached and instructed him that speaking in tongues was not for today. And he came after about, you know, about the first semester or so, came home and said, I don't have faith for that. I can't do that anymore. I just, you know, he wasn't dissing me at all, like, I can't hang out with you, but it was I can't do that anymore. I'm like, what? You went back to the old. If any man turns back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That's what God says. Guess what? I'm the same way. If you're going to turn back and go into worldliness, well, poo-poo, goodbye, see you later. I'm not going to take any pleasure in you. I got too many good things, too many new things. Right?
Yep.
I'm going to give you a new Palm Pilot that's from, you know, 2002. What are you going to do with it? Probably what's done with all their other ones. Either gave it away or it's sitting on your counter somewhere. It won't work. It's obsolete. Doesn't do any. You know, all it does is hold addresses and names. And they're not even the right ones anymore. And phone numbers. Right? So people that are going backwards are not engaged with the Holy Ghost, who is the consummate entrepreneur, always taking you from one glory to the next, always destroying what is and making something new. You are going to be a new person with new thinking, with a new business idea, with a new direction, and a new lease on life. Like a calf in the field running around kicking his feet up. See, I understand that illustration because I grew up, you know, my uncles were farmers, and we go check out the calves every, you know, and they'd suck on your hand and get it all slobbery and slimy, right? And if you stood too close, it would start sucking on your coat. You'd be like, ah, stop it. But then they get all frisky and they jump around the field. They were just very happy. They'd kick up their back feet, really look ridiculous. That's you, very happy because you're brand new. A brand new thing. Almost done. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of, this is who he is, this is what he does. Every time he engages you, get ready to die. The old dies, the new becomes newer and extra new. New and improved. No one uses the old tide anymore. They use the new and improved Tide with bleach power. Color safe. From glory to glory. He takes you from one level of glory to the next level of glory. When he introduces the next level of glory, it makes the old level of glory obsolete. It doesn't discount it. It doesn't mean that people are walking that are on that level of glory are somehow evil and terrible. But guess what? You can say, there's change coming. It won't be long. You'll be like me. Oh, sound like Dudley Do right there for a minute. Did I say first go to Jeremiah? We'll try to end with this. So we have an idea here that the Holy Ghost is the consummate entrepreneur. He takes people, he gives you revelation. Where are you going to receive the revelation? Money comes to the inside, not the outside. So a revelation is going to come on your inward man, and it's gonna funkify everything else. It's gonna destroy what you were thinking and the way you wanted to go. And you will be new if you go with him. Are you here?
Yes.
Jeremiah chapter. Is this good news?
Yes.
Yes. I'm almost there. I should get a Bible with those tabs on them. That would be new and improved. All right. Jesus is Lord. Let's see. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse. Let's read verse 4. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet. Say, a prophet.
Prophet.
A prophet unto the nations. Now, hang on here a second. What is a prophet? It's something that God sanctified. It's a ministry gift. This ministry gift will be operating by the Spirit of God. So the things that they do will be influenced by the Spirit of God, right? If they're being accurate and good at their job. I ordain thee, sanctify thee, a prophet to the nations. Then said I, What did he say? Was it a revelation to him? Yeah. Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. What is he? What's God doing? He's destroying his childhood.
God wouldn't destroy anybody's childhood.
You don't believe the Bible, or you're just ignorant and don't read your Bible. God will destroy everything that you have and think and own that isn't his will and plan, and he's going to put something better in there. Why does he destroy it? Because it is not as good as his plan. That felt a lot better than I think anybody here thought. Right? Lord God, I cannot speak, I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child. So he's got him immediately saying something that's opposite of what he is. Jeremiah was a child. Am I too excited here? Jeremiah was a child, and God's telling him to say not that you're a child. He's trying to just say what he wants him to say. Why? Because that's how good God does everything. Yep. Say not, I'm a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Is Jeremiah just going to speak whatever he wants to speak? No. God is introducing something new that's destroying the old. Be not afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver thee, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. What did God replace Jeremiah's words with? His words. He destroyed Jeremiah's words and replaced it with something better and more powerful. Which is better, Jeremiah's words or God's words? God's words. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, pull down, to destroy, to throw down. Who's doing this? The Spirit of the Lord on his prophet Jeremiah. I'm trying to show you something, that this is the way God does stuff. This is the way God does stuff. He destroys the old by introducing new things to you.
But I've worked on it for so long.
You worked in vain. We have scriptures that says that you build a house without the Lord, you're building it in vain. I put forth his hand, a bowl that put my words in your mouth. This day I've set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant. He doesn't just leave it destroyed, but he destroys it by introducing the new. And when you learn to engage the new thing that the Spirit of God is bringing to you, you will see yourself as a different person, and you'll be able to walk with a greater stride and with your head held high, because the Spirit of God has moved you into that position, and no man can take you out of it. You're a brand new person, brand new anointing, brand new calling, brand new thing that you're doing, and everybody else is going to have to deal with it. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for this word this morning. We receive it. We embrace it. We thank you that you have called us to the new, and we receive. Say this. I receive
from you,
Holy Ghost,
new things,
new ideas,
new things
into my spirit. And I welcome the destruction of the old, because you are the consummate entrepreneur in my life and of my life. I worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.